Call this meeting to order. We're going to go ahead and do Pledge of Allegiance, and if you on the screen will just follow along, we appreciate it.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. All right, Chris, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Cardoza?
Here.
Councilmember Christensen?
Here.
Councilmember Laraway?
Yes.
Council President McPherson?
Here.
Mayor Steer?
Here. And the first item up is the consent agenda. Is there any questions or comments or anything you want pulled for discussion or a motion?
I move we approve the consent agenda as published.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve the consent agenda as presented. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say, I'm sorry. Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Cardoza?
Yes.
Councilmember Christensen?
Yes.
Councilmember Laraway?
Yes.
Council President McPherson?
Yes.
And that motion carries. That brings us right to the...
Chris, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I can't hear anything.
You're not able to hear me?
Guess not, you didn't answer.
How about now, Bill?
Can you hear us now, Bill?
Yes.
Thank you.
I can hear you.
Okay, all good. All right, that brings us to the first public hearing. This is tabled from November 17th, 2020. Consideration to approve case numbers 2001ZC rezone and 2002-S preliminary plat for Sarasol subdivision. Doug Hansen.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. For the record, Doug Hansen, Cuna Planning and Zoning Staff, 751 West 4th Street. Cuna, Idaho, presenting on behalf of Troy Behunin. The application before you tonight is for the Sarasol subdivision, a rezone and preliminary plat. The applicant, Penelope Constantikes with Riley Planning, is requesting a rezone of two parcels within Cuna City limits that are currently zoned agriculture to the R6 medium density residential zone. It is proposing to rezone approximately 19.22 acres from agriculture to R6. The site on the future land use map does designate these parcels as a mixed use. However, these two parcels have very limited frontage. The proposed subdivision does include one non-residential lot, Lot 55, Block 1, adjacent to Swan Falls Road, that may be used in the future for a commercial use, at which time the lot will be required to be taken through the public hearing process for a rezone. Staff would strongly recommend that the applicant be conditioned to provide a note on the final plat that Lot 55, Block 1, as shown in the preliminary plat, be reserved for a non-residential use. Economic Development has submitted comments of concern with the transition of land uses to the north. Staff has added the additional condition from the Planning and Zoning Commission that the applicant work with staff to enhance the landscaping plan to include a heavy buffer between the subdivision and light industrial uses to the north. Staff asks that the applicant speak to the transition before the council. Following review, staff has determined the preliminary plat and rezone requests are within technical compliance of Cuna City Code, Idaho State Code, and the Comprehensive Plan. If the council approves the preliminary plat and rezone, staff would recommend that the applicant be subject to the conditions of approval listed in Section K of the staff report, as well as any other additional conditions this decision-making body decides to impose. With that, I will stand by for any questions.
Okay, any questions for Doug? All right, and then I believe we have Penelope Riley. Did you wish to present?
Can you hear me?
Talk a little louder if you can.
Sure. Let me get... Sorry, this dang technology, it's not always easy.
I know.
Can you hear me better?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay, very good. Thank you. For the record, Penelope Constantikes, Post Office Box 405, Boise, Idaho 83701. I'd like to start with stating the applicant and the project team have reviewed the project staff report and agree with the conditions of approval. The applications, as you know, are before you are for a rezone to R6, the medium density residential, and a preliminary plat. Sarah Stoll subdivision was originally reviewed by the City of Cuna and approved in 2007. The plat that is before you tonight is very similar, but the open space amenity has been greatly improved by providing a more linear alignment along the Cuna Mora ditch, though the ditch is not technically part of the site. A future commercial lot has been added as well to facilitate mixed use along Swan Falls Road in the only portion of the site that is along the road with enough frontage to be viable. Given the infill nature of the site and the proximity to downtown Cuna, services and retail vehicle trip length will be modest, and the site is well within biking and walking distance to many destinations. The proposed subdivision provides Cuna with more variety in their housing location options as well. The site does appear to have sufficient surface water, as verified by the Boise project letter, to serve irrigation needs, and the project will not be dependent on municipal water for irrigation purposes. In light of staff's comments about the ability of Lot 35, which is our open space lot along the south boundary, to meet both the open space requirements and water retention, I analyzed the previously approved plat and compared it to the updated plat. So the original plat provided 1.76 acres of combined open space and water retention in just Lot 55, which is our current commercial parcel, the one down in the corner. Additional open space was provided in landscaping distributed across the site. In the previous plat, the retention facility had a footprint of about 7,200 square feet. The revised plat provides 1.83 acres of combined open space and water retention in just Lot 35. There's additional open space that's distributed across the site. Using the previously approved 7,200 square foot footprint of water retention and subtracting this amount from the open space along the south boundary in the plat before you this evening, this specific lot, just Lot 35, provides 11.23% of the required open space. So we exceed the amount that's required by CUNA code. And this percentage doesn't include the other qualified area distributed across the site. In addition, if additional water retention area is needed, the commercial parcel, which is Lot 55, has more than enough room to provide space for a 5,000 square foot commercial building, ample parking, and another 7,200 square feet of water retention, and still have area left over. As a matter of fact, there's enough space to widen the access road along the south boundary of Lot 55 if needed by the fire department, and still we would have area remaining for additional open space, additional parking, whatever would be needed with that commercial lot. I also wanted to note that the site does slope from the north to the south, and based on this geometry, the site water retention needs to be along the south boundary. This location provides more linear open space, abutting more residential parcels, and as I mentioned, it is along the Cuna Mora ditch, if a pathway was ever implemented by the City of Cuna. The site meets the future vision of Cuna as provided in the comprehensive plan and adheres to the Cuna City Code requirements. Compass provided a positive review of the site, and the split entry design improves vehicle safety. The requested zoning designation is consistent with the surrounding uses and will complement the surrounding residential density. The applicant will comply with the conditions of approval. Staff asked me to make some comments about the north boundary and the landscape buffer. our thought is to put in a row of arborvitae, just like what you have outside City Hall along the east boundary line there next to your commercial neighbor. It provides an excellent solid visual and sound buffer wall because they can be planted so tightly together that it's almost impenetrable. So we'll be happy to work with staff to find an appropriate solution for the landscaping along the north boundary. One of the site drawings submitted with the application does include streetlights, and the team will work with staff at CUNA to assure they are located and spaced appropriately. The applicant will also work with the CUNA Rural Fire District to assure that all of the secondary access needs are met with the development of the site. The site will be fenced as required and all other conditions will be complied with. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Okay, questions for Ms. Riley? All right, nothing at the moment. Thank you.
Thank you.
Did we have any requests for testimony?
No, Mayor, we did not.
Okay. Well, I guess, so I'll start off with any discussion. The two major concerns that I had with this is just knowing that that's kind of at the top of that hill there, where Stagecoach comes into Swan Falls. That's always been a scary intersection, and I worry about adding more traffic to that area right there. And then my other concern is where we, and Penelope had did address that on the northern boundary where we have commercial zoning, you know, it's one of those things where I think Lisa Holland addressed it in her letter. It's similar to a Best Bath type situation where you have put in housing, and then the commercial development is something that becomes highly disputed. So those are my two concerns of the project that I saw right off the bat. I guess it's kind of up to you guys to... We didn't have any more testimony, so if you want to have a little more discussion, and then we can go back for any questions for Doug or Penelope or staff or whoever you'd like to.
No, Mayor, if I can.
Yes, speak. Warren, go ahead.
I'm going to kind of piggyback off what you're saying because I share those same concerns. You know, those people that submitted the public testimony form, they all spoke to the same concerns too when it comes to traffic and the way that that hill particularly, it does cause a lot of safety issues. And not to mention the strong backup delays we still see with the trains and the traffic congestion later in the afternoon. With the fire station a mile away, that already adds to the already strong concern that that road carries and that crossing carries right there, where the more residents we implement right there on that portion and that side of town, the more residents we cause strong delays and potential emergency services too. So those are the initial concerns I also had when it came to looking at rezoning that to a residential right there.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council.
Yes.
Bill Giegray, city attorney. Given some of the concerns that I heard voiced by you, Mr. Mayor, as well as by Councilman Christensen, one of the options that you have, if you want, is to continue the hearing and request the appearance of ACHD or someone else who would have jurisdiction over that highway to provide further evidence for you to consider, because obviously your options in this instance, if you were going to deny this application, you would have to identify specific facts for the reason for denial, and you would have to establish in that items that the applicant would need to follow in order to get a permit as they've requested. You could approve this subject to some additional conditions, but I think it is important that the council would have before it some specific facts upon which it would rely in establishing any additional conditions addressing that particular issue. Those are options you have. Obviously, it's up to you, but I just submit this for your consideration.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Chris, do we have Christy on tonight?
No, this evening we have Edinson, B-A-U-T-I-S-T-A, so that I don't... Bautista? He is the representative from ACHD for us.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I didn't... In ACHD comments, I don't know that they'll be able to provide any more than what that is in their comment sheet, so... I don't know. Would the ACHD representative like to identify yourself and make any comment, or would you rather?
Good afternoon, Mayor. My name is Edinson Bautista. I'm the new liaison for the city of, from ACHD to the city of CUNA. Regarding your comment, I can only reference what we have in our staff report currently, where a traffic, I believe there was identification of traffic findings for the consideration of the for the city council in this case, where Swan Falls shows has it better than E regarding the for the level of service and the PM peak hour going up to 529, based on the type of traffic, based on the staff report, there are a couple of requirements that ACHD would need from the some standard requirements that the applicant would need to meet before ACHD approval. But besides that, that's pretty much what we have in the staff report.
So they, but mostly they're looking at the level of service, right? The amount of traffic that Swamp Falls Road can hold and that type of thing. I didn't really see anything in there specific to entering the roadway there with that hill that drops off, unless I'm missing it.
Based on the local road, I don't think we have a specific to that that condition specifically. I can take their question to our development services department, and they can contact back with a specific answer.
Okay, we'll see what council's pleasure is with that, but that would certainly be interesting for me.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, with your permission, Mr. Mayor, Bill Giegray, city attorney.
Yes.
You may ask if ACHD could take a look at the visibility at that intersection, the anticipated additional traffic at the location that is proposed for the intersection of that road in regards to your concerns, and they could come back with whether they will are willing and have looked at that and what concerns, if any, they would have in regards to that and what any additional conditions they might request in order to improve the safety of that intersection. I know representing highway districts that I do that that can be done by engineering staff because they are always concerned about forgiving highways and safety on their roads and speed limits and regulatory signs and all the things that go along with that.
Okay, thank you.
Mayor?
Yes, Richard.
If I could have the floor. Bill, this is kind of directed towards you in general. Can the council condition an acceptance I'm concerned about the fire police protection due to the railroad. Can a motion be made as to an exception for a subdivision that anyone looking to buy a home in a specific subdivision be notified of the lack of police or fire in some cases, or that the subdivision is located near an industrial site? Can that be a motion, or is that infringing on the right of development?
Mr. Mayor, with your permission, and Councilman Cardoza, Bill G. Gray, City Attorney, I think that if you're interested in including that as an additional condition, I would recommend that that go back to staff for consideration as well as the applicant, because we'd need to know whether or not those kind of conditions would be acceptable. And I think one of the considerations might be that there would be a note on the plat, which, of course, would be available to anyone that purchased any of the lots in that subdivision that would be noticed to them in regards to some of those items. I know with the right to farm, and there are some other plats that include certain notes that are on the face of the plat, and that would be one way of providing that notice, but I would defer, in my opinion, if you wanted to head in those directions, that you would refer this matter back to staff to review that with the applicant and to see whether they would propose any specific conditions in addition to what they already have proposed and where those would be implemented and how. That would be, I think, one way to address your question, Councilman Cardoza.
I guess my question, Bill, is do we have the legality to imply a condition like that?
I think that you have to have facts in the record that support that the condition is reasonable and that the condition would be imposed on one of the approvals that are before you in an appropriate manner, whether that would be as a condition of the applications for, and I got to double check here to make sure I've got this right, in the subdivision preliminary plat or in a rezone as part of a condition of a development agreement. I think it could be approached potentially either way.
Okay, thank you, Bill.
You're welcome.
One more question, Mayor.
Sure.
Probably directed towards you. Do you know how far we are, if we are, close to putting a bridge across there on Swan Falls?
I we just don't have the funding source yet, so I don't, I can't answer a timeline to that. I do know that one thing that was, one reason that ACHD did that study was to preserve area for whatever roadway improvements would need to be made so that things weren't built in the way, but that's been 7 years now, probably, since that happened, if not eight.
I guess my question is directed towards if there was a overpass there, I think it would pretty much meet the top of the hill there, which would make visibility to the south much better. But again, we don't know when or where that, or who's going to finance it, putting a bridge in. At one time, I think there was four or five locations, and last I heard, it had all been settled that Swan Falls would be where they put it. So I don't know how far out that would be, but that might be one of the safety issues. Once it was in, it would be met, but at this time, I don't see coming up that hill the safety again of Swan Falls at the top of the hill, unless there was to be a stop sign put in there. And I don't know if you want to do that on a hill in a snowy country. So.
Right. Well, yeah, so Swan Falls was identified as the preferred location. And I do know that because of the natural drop, the overpass would end beyond Shortline, which would make Shortline then no longer tee into Swan Falls. So there was going to have to be an alternative route put in somewhere in there where the road could actually turn and head back towards Avalon. So I don't have that map in front of me to remember where they decided that road needed to be, but it would be right about in this vicinity. So if not, maybe at the pallet factory there. That's been there for quite a few years. I don't remember them talking about the pallet factory being that location, so I really can't say for sure.
I thought the schematic I seen, Shortline, would go under the overpass and come up where the Pioneer Cemetery was, I thought. But that was the schematic I remember seeing, but that still doesn't solve our problem today.
So. Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking Shortline went into a roundabout kind of thing at the end and then just turned around and went back. I don't think they went on through, but I could be wrong. Like I said, it's been a while since I've seen that. Greg.
All right, I guess it's my turn. Well, so looking at a lot of this dates on these previous meetings and when engineers made comments and this and that, and maybe I missed it, I tried to thumb back through the packet real fast, but here in one thing it says that they want to rezone and preliminary plat, but then it immediately says this application provides a preliminary plat and a narrative explaining. Oh, no, I'm in the wrong one. The Sarasol subdivision site is approximately 19.22 acres and is currently zoned A, agriculture. Requested zoning is R6, density residential. This application does not specifically request a zone change. Isn't that what we're doing? Changing the zoning?
You're looking at the city engineer comments?
Yeah. On the April 8th meeting or a memorandum that Paul wrote. So that kind of has me confused. And then, of course, since then, the next issue lies with that side of the tracks, well, and the other, but in sewer capacity, and I didn't see anywhere where that was ever addressed. Did anyone see anything about that? And I missed it.
So I believe most of our sewer capacity issues are further west.
Okay.
The ones that, because these on this end, I don't believe have been the problem, but is Paul on?
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
I can chime in. For the record, Doug Hansen, Community Planning and Zoning staff. The Sarasota subdivision was at a point part of the LID, and they do still have reserved EDUs to serve the site.
Perfect. Thank you, Doug.
Awesome. Well, good. Mayor, let's talk to Paul anyway.
Mayor, this is Paul. I'm sorry I can't get the video to go. But yes, they're part of the LID, so that was not an issue.
Very good. Thank you.
Well, okay. Then if that's the case, that's good, I guess. I guess if we were throwing out comments, I would like to, if the rest of council was okay with it, and whoever brought up, see if the possibility of having the ACHD engineers site map that and see if that is the best idea for access to this or what, or if something can be changed to move their entryway. I don't know. What are your...
No, I'd like to, yeah, I absolutely would like to see that. I think it was Mayor that brought that up, but I'd also like to add on to that. If we're going to look for extended comment like that, emergency services, I think, I would love to hear their comment basis on how they view that portion of the tracks and any potential safety concerns they may have, if any.
Okay. So we didn't have anybody really here to testify, and this is a public hearing. So since we didn't have anybody else, hearing some of council's comments, Penelope, would you like to, I'll just let you do a rebuttal to council, I guess.
Thank you, Mayor. Again, for the record, Penelope Constantakis. We covered some of this in the Planning and Zoning Commission hearing. And first of all, the traffic and the location of fire and police. I've been doing planning work in the Valley as an applicant, as a decision maker, and as a planner for more than 20 years. And the improvement of services, the addition of satellite police facilities, satellite fire facilities, are like roads. They're reactive, not proactive. So the way to get additional services located south of Swan Falls Road is to basically to allow development to occur, which will facilitate the additional services being implemented on that side of the tracks. Some of the neighbors that came to the P&Z hearing brought this item up, and most of them were new residents to the city of Cuna and hadn't been there more than a few months, maybe a few years. So no one indicated that they had problems getting emergency services. As for the transportation element, first of all, there's really nowhere else that we can put the access point besides where it's proposed, unless we put it down where the commercial lot is, and then the commercial lot goes away. The area that's abutting the site, or the site that abuts Swan Falls Road where we currently propose our access, isn't sufficient in size to do anything with. So you can't use it for a commercial site. We can't flip the accesses. We've got them separated by an island to improve visibility and safety. With regard to traffic and Swan Falls and at some point in time, something will happen to the intersection of Avalon and Swan Falls, but I don't know that it should be an impediment to approval of the project. That condition has existed for a very long time, and I'm not, in my estimation at least, the trip generation, if you look at the PM, it'll generate somewhere around 78 vehicle trips. In the PM peak hour, which is between 4 and 6, it's the 60 minutes with the most trip generation. So at the most, you would have some percentage of 78 vehicles, so let's say 50% of them hit the peak hour. So there's it's going to be adding 37 or 38 vehicle trips to Swan Falls Road in the PM peak hour. That's not very many trips. And I don't know that it would have any substantial impact on the functioning of Swan Falls Road. We did go through this process with ACHD, and this isn't the first time that this site has been reviewed. This is the second time. ACHD staff report this time is reflective of what they issued in the past. Their level of service is acceptable. The design of the entryway is acceptable to the district. There isn't anything we can do about the railroad tracks. That, like I said, that condition has existed for some time, and it existed while other subdivisions in this part of CUNA were approved and constructed. So it might seem a little bit unfair to deny Sarah Soul when other subdivisions have been approved, given that the condition at the railroad tracks existed already. So I don't know what ACHD can offer as further information. I'm a former development services planner for ACHD, and I don't know that there's anything more that they can offer. They're usually pretty comprehensive in their staff reports, and if there was some alternative, I'm confident that the district would have brought it up. They generally do. So I just kind of in closing, the way to get more facilities and more services is to provide people to use them. And so I think allowing development on the south side of the tracks is what will get you eventually a fire station and a satellite police station. Those kinds of services are not usually built ahead of time. They're built in response to demand. I don't know.
Already rang through.
I'm sorry, say again?
Rebuttal time is up.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, ACHD has offered to take a look at that and bring us back wherever they can find, if that's what council would like to do. And I think we all realize that the railroad tracks are there and have been forever, and that hasn't stopped anybody yet. But I think we're at a point now where there's enough residents over there that is a concern and will continue to be a concern. So. That's probably why it comes up more now than it used to, but that doesn't help the situation either. And we all certainly understand that the more residents, the more tax base there is to provide those types of services. But we also get to a point where it's a little scary. So we're all going through these growing pains, and like I said, I think one of the major concerns for me is just that intersection up there. I think we really need to take a look at that and see if it's a safe site. If there's nothing that can be done to make it safe, then I think that answers for itself. So it would be my opinion that we ought to go ahead and have ACHD look at that. and see if they can make any more suggestions. And again, I am concerned with the, even though they've addressed that and we're talking about herbivita vines, I am worried about that north boundary being against an industrial site. It just makes it hard where, you know, we all know we need the commercial development, and although there's nothing in the hopper at this moment, we certainly don't want a lot of resistance on things that provide jobs and better tax base for the city. So that would be my opinion, as we ask ACHD to come back and see if they can give us any further thoughts on the safety of that intersection.
I would agree. My question would be then, we can do option two, but we don't know a date and time and date certain. I don't know if they could get that done in 2 weeks or not. What are your thoughts there?
We could actually continue it to that date certain, and then if that information isn't back yet, then we can continue in it to the next date.
But so just do it for the next
date. I would guess, unless ACHD has any recommendations on what they think we ought to do there for a timeline. If I believe December 15th is our next meeting. Do you believe that that would be possible to have an answer back by then? Mr. Batista.
Yes, thank you. So, Mayor, so I will post a question tomorrow. I don't know if what response I will get from Development Services, but they'll make sure to respond back and contact staff, work with staff with that specific question. Depending on that, on their response, it might be as soon as next meeting, probably. So, not entirely. I don't have a straight answer right now, at this moment.
No guarantees. All right.
Yes. Sorry.
Okay. We would appreciate it if you do that, and then we'll direct staff to go ahead and make contact with the planning and zoning staff. So if that could be handled that way, I'd appreciate it. And I guess if council has nothing further, we could go for a motion for that.
Could we also make sure we...
Mr. Mayor, with your permission, Bill Gatgray, city attorney.
I'm sorry, one second, Bill. What did you say, Warren?
I'm sorry. Could we also see if staff can reach out just to PD and fire and just get comments from them as well, emergency services, regarding any potential concerns they've got?
You bet.
Positive saying, so whatever it may be.
Okay. So police and fire also included in that?
If we could.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. Yes, Bill, please go ahead.
Thank you, Mayor. Members of council, another item, one of the concerns that I heard you, Mr. Mayor, had is with regards to the adjacency of the proposed development to an industrial area. What you may want to do is have the staff, again, a review, as I'm sure they already have, but just review again, because this seems to me, if this were an issue of which you would consider a denial of these applications, and it seems that likely that would be based on a comprehensive plan analysis, that somehow it isn't conform with the comprehensive plan. And if you want to keep that issue before the council for consideration and discussion, I would suggest that you would have staff review that issue as well.
Okay. I think that they are in compliance with the comp plan and all of that. It's just a matter of that buffer zone there. But we can certainly add that in for staff to take a further look at. Appreciate that.
Okay.
All right, so far I have look at the traffic visibility and safety concerns at Stagecoach, contact police and fire for their comments, and look at industrial zone impact. Don't make staff go back to work on this one. And then I think as we decided if we can add that for the time and date certain of the December 15th.
Okay, if we are ready to go then, I will move we continue the public hearing to the December 15th meeting and have staff reach out to Fire NPD for a further look into the
Traffic concerns
with this development, have ACHD work with staff on the traffic visibility of this project as well, and have staff look at the industrial zone impact to the north of the project.
And then contact police and fire.
Yeah, and have staff reach out to police and fire as well for the traffic and accessibility.
Okay.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to table this for the December 15th meeting. Look at the traffic visibility concerns through ACHD. Contact police and fire for comment. And look at the industrial zone impact from, and then have staff take care of all of those issues. I think that covered it all. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
I have to recuse.
And, yeah, Councilmember Laraway has to recuse on this one. That motion carries. Thank you. Item B is a public hearing and consideration to approve case number 2004ZC rezone for Durant. Doug Hansen.
Once again, good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. For the record, Doug Hansen, Unit Planning and Zoning Staff, 751 West 4th Street, CUNA, Idaho, 83634. The application before the evening is for the rezone for a property located near the northeast corner of Linder and Columbia Roads. The applicant is proposing to rezone the approximate 12.15-acre site from its current zoning classification of agriculture to R6 medium density residential. There is no development associated with the proposed application. Following review, staff has determined the rezone request is within technical compliance of CUNA City Code, Idaho State Code, and the Comprehensive Plan. Staff would note that the applicant be subject to the conditions of approval listed in Section K of your staff report, as well as any other additional conditions this decision-making body decides to impose. I will stand by for any questions.
Okay. Any questions for Doug? Okay. If not, I think we have Kent Brown, if you would like to present.
I think, for the record, my address is 3161 East Springwood. I'm the planner for the applicant. We are in agreement with the staff report and are really not planning to do anything at this time. Was approached by the city that my client had done a record of survey, and the parcel that was consolidated was multiple zones, and they required it to be one zone. So this matches the other portion of the property, but there is no intent to do any in development at this time, or not even in the future, other than it's just a good planning move to have this type of residential use in and near the high school. So that's all I have.
All right. Any questions for Mr. Brown? All right. Hearing none. Did we have any people who requested to testify in this?
No, Mayor, we do not.
Okay. And we don't have an audience, so there isn't anybody here wishing to testify. So that public hearing is open at this time. Council, do you want to, I guess it's up for you to go ahead and have discussion.
Richard's deep in thought.
I just wondered if we should lower that from an R6 to an R4, given our problems with lift stations, although they may be solved by then. But you can still give an R6 and have an R4 in the amount of homes that are net or gross in there. So I don't know. I guess I see no problem with it.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor, and with your permission, a quick comment on that. Bill Gagre, yes, City Bill. Attorney.
Yes, Bill, go ahead.
Sorry to keep butting in. If you change a zoning designation at this hearing, my recommendation is that you would rehear it so that the adjacent property owners and people entitled to notice would have an opportunity to address a more intense zone than has been advertised and approved in the hearing process thus far, if you go that route.
Okay. Thank you.
Are you out on this one, please?
Nope, I'm good.
Oh, well, then let's hear it.
Like you gentlemen was talking about, this is a future thing. You're just trying to rezone it and put an R factor on it. It's nothing's planned, no plats. So I really don't have any problem with it.
Okay. Yeah, I'm good with that. They're just simply looking at it like...
I mean, it's going to come back before us again.
Right. Okay. Any comment from you, boss?
I mean, it's in vicinity of the high school, and I think they're just trying to clean things up for us, so actually I don't see a big problem with it myself.
Then... I guess I would move then we close the evidence presentation and proceed to deliberation.
Okay. Motion is made and seconded to close the evidence presentation and proceed to deliberation. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 All opposed?
Mayor, can we redo that? There was no second on that motion.
I'm sorry?
There was no second on that motion.
Oh, I thought Warren did.
No, I did not.
I was thinking.
Warren seconded.
I do second that motion.
Okay, thank you.
Again.
Because I normally hear you.
I might have had a dream. I don't know. Thank you, though, for making sure on that. All those in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Motion carried.
Then I would therefore move we approve case number 20-04 ZC rezone and close the public hearing.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve case number 20-04-ZC and close the public hearing. Yeah. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. And that brings us to C, public hearing and consideration to approve case numbers 2002AN and 2004-S for Rising Sun Commons. Jace Hellman.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. For the record, Jace Hellman, Interim Planning and Zoning Director, 751 West 4th Street, Tuna, Idaho, 83634. The application before you this evening proposes to annex approximately 11.74 acres located near the southwest corners of Tuna Road and Strobel Road into Cuna city limits, and that those 11.74 acres be zoned with an R6 zoning district classification. Additionally, the applicant proposes to subdivide 11.74 acres into 43 buildable lots and 10 common lots, which is approximately 3.66 dwelling units per acre. Applicant proposes 10.7% of the project to be contributed to open space. The applicant has secured the name Rising Sun Commons and proposes this development be a part of Rising Sun Estate subdivision, which was approved in November 2017. The project's located within the Orchard Lift Station sewer basin. We do have comments in your packet that we received from the city engineer slash public works director that states there's sufficient capacity in the Orchard Lift Station to service the proposed project. Along with this project, it was mentioned in the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting, the applicant has committed to developing a new city park along Indian Creek that's located within the original Rising Sun Estates project. The renderings, they're located within your packet. I apologize, in your packet, with the addition of the applicant's presentation, the page numbers are a little off, so they won't put you to the page that you need to. But those have been provided in your packet. During the Planning and Zoning Commission hearing, the commission requested that a park agreement be finalized to present to council. Planning and Zoning staff, as well as the Parks and Recreation Department, have been working with the applicant on a park development agreement. Currently, staff is in the final review stage with our legal, and we are hoping to have that agreement to council relatively soon. Any questions you have this evening pertaining to that agreement, if any, the Parks and Rec Department Director Bobby Withrow and myself would be able to answer those for you. Staff does view that the proposed application for the annexation and preliminary plat do appear to be in general compliance with Cuna City Code and the goals and policies of the comprehensive plan. Staff would recommend that if the council does approve this annexation, zoning request, and preliminary plat, that the applicant be subject to the conditions of approval listed in Section J of the staff memo, as well as any other conditions that the council determines necessary. And with that, I'll stand for any questions you guys may have.
All right, questions for Jace. Jace, will you need us to list that specifically, or is that a recommendation that's already in the packet?
I'm sorry, list.
You had mentioned that if we do approve it, we ask for the staff recommendation. Is that already in the packet, or does that need to be listed specifically when a motion is made? It's how you finished out your presentation.
Oh, sorry, that it's in the packet currently. It's basically, if this body approves this project, staff would recommend that they be subject to the conditions that are listed in the Section J of the staff report, as well as any other conditions that you guys see fit. It is at the end of the staff analysis, which is on page 4 of 14 in the staff report, in the packet, or page 18 of 106. Just a staff, that would be staff's recommendation that they be subject to every condition of approval and then any additional conditions that are added. Is that what you were looking for?
Yes, thank you. All right, any questions for Jace? If not, we have Mark Tate.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Great. Mark Tate, for the record, 1087 West River Street, Suite 310 in Boise, Idaho, 83702. Thank you all for having me, and virtually at this point. There are some slides in your packet. I'm not sure on the page numbering on the public packet, they show up as the first couple of pages. I'm going to be referencing them hopefully everybody has them with them. It starts with a PowerPoint slide that has M3 logo on it, December 1st.
Yes, I think we have that. That's what starts out our packet, I believe.
Very good. I like when things work out. And thank you to staff and the clerk's office for getting that included. On slide number 2, it shows an aerial of the property in the vicinity. There's two different colored areas down in the southeast corner. The area in the blue is the already approved preliminary plat for the Rising Sun subdivision. And the area in the yellow is what's actually before you today. I will be referencing both of them, as Jace mentioned. We've got some really exciting stuff planned with some open space and park opportunities along Indian Creek there. So they do sort of play off of each other. But as far as your consideration today, it really is just the preliminary plat for the piece in the middle. You'll see that the property is located very near downtown CUNA along Indian Creek there. As we move to the next page, this shows the preliminary plat that was approved for the Rising Sun subdivision on page 3. Generally larger lots, some open space along Indian Creek, but you can see in the corners, the southeast and southwest corners, there's residential lots. Those are the two areas that we'll be talking about as far as potential future park opportunities there. The property that's before you tonight is highlighted in red, and the original application did not actually include this as part of the preliminary plat. It was sort of a different member of the family, I believe. We weren't the ones that actually took this preliminary plat through the first time. We've since acquired the property and felt it would be a better project to acquire the property in the middle and combine it all into one and not leave a hole in the donut. Going to page 4, an aerial that's zoomed in a little bit more, you can really see the parts of the property along Indian Creek there and what we're looking at tonight. Page 5 shows the preliminary plat that we have filed for this property. You'll see that the layout works well with the approved plan without very many changes to the approved plan, the approved preliminary plat. There is one change from the original submittal that I would like to point out. It's in the northwest corner of the preliminary plat on the west side of that entry road that is called Easter Avenue, I believe. And the reason for that modification was the city requested a pressure irrigation station, which also includes a pond to serve this property and some adjacent properties. And we were able to accommodate that in that location there. So where we had a street stub before, it's now a common drive. The common lot expanded, and we actually added one additional drive lot from the original submittal. Moving down to page 6, this shows a colored rendering of the entire project together. So the property that's before you tonight is right in the middle with the loop street. And then we also show in this rendering the park properties that we're proposing down starting in the southeast corner. A lot of activities in that park, parking lot. Next to that, across the street, is a swimming pool that would be a private amenity for the subdivision, separate from the city park. Along Indian Creek would be an open space area and paved pathway. And on the southwest corner, we've gotten rid of what really is one of the coolest lots probably in CUNA, where it would have sat out on this point that has Indian Creek surrounding it roughly by 270 degrees. And instead, we've worked with city staff on a plan to make that a city park with just some really incredible views of the water and some opportunities to put some amenities there on Indian Creek. Slide number 7 shows a zoomed-in plan for the eastern park along Strobel Road. This rendering was done with the comments from staff and some feedback from Bobby, Troy, and Jace, who have seen this a number of times. The park would include a playground on the north side, would include 4 pickleball courts, which is one of the booming activities amongst the population, and then bocce ball court on the south side of the pickleball. This colored rendering shows what would be a building and picnic Ramada type structure that would potentially be built in the future by the city, but we would be providing sewer and water services in that location. And then one really exciting feature that we'll be working on and working on permits for would be a modified put-in for rafters in that location and people wanting to float Indian Creek. This put-in would be kind of a terraced and stepped put-in area similar to what they have at Barber Park along the Boise River there. And really the thing that started the conversation was with staff and their desire to see some sort of parking there in that location for the myriad of people parking along Strobel Road in the summer. A lot of complaints from neighbors and people along that road as that gets pretty crowded in those months. We felt like that would be a benefit to the project and to the city and could be a potential for a win-win situation there. Moving down to the next slide, this park layout looks a little bit different than the color rendering. We did have one issue with the design, and that was that it seemed that staff liked it so much that they felt like we needed to add even more parking from the original design, and thought it might end up getting more use and more popular. So we did make another round of changes that's not reflected in the color version there, but does add additional parking. It further shrinks down the residential lots to the north there, but we were able to make that change that staff had requested. The next slide, number 9 here, is a rendering of what that park would look like, fit into the community there. The access changed a little bit since the rendering due to expansion of the parking lot, but this gives you a really good idea as far as what would be possible in that location. With these park changes, with a playground on the north side, that's in the rendering it's shown, but that would actually be a playground, pickleball, bocce ball. And then the building in Ramada is shown in this rendering. That would be delivered as turf initially, and then that would be up to the city on when they wanted to potentially build a building in that location and Ramada structure. On the west side, this park area would be mostly turf, trees. We're looking at a picnic shelter, and probably my favorite feature on this would be a beach head. So we would be trying to basically put in a sandy beach along Indian Creek where rafters could potentially stop and play along the water there. People could come to and hang out along the beach and the shore. The west side of that point is probably the best part of the beach for it. We initially were hoping to do it on the east side, but it looks like Craters of the Moon on the east side of it. And for everybody's feet, the sake of their toes, we decided probably it'd be better to be on the west side. And save everybody a lot of broken toes. But
Mark,
really
minutes
just,
is up.
Oh, okay. I missed the lights on here.
Yeah, well, go ahead and wrap up, Mike.
Yeah, no problem. So that's kind of the summary on the parks. And then I do have just one request on the staff report. It's condition number 17, and it's sort of a trivial condition. and that is that the condition says that the applicant shall keep the subdivision name as presented and not change it for marketing purposes. We weren't the ones that picked Rising Sun as the subdivision name, and we would just respectfully request that that condition be removed and allow us to market the subdivision potentially with a different name than on the subdivision plat. That's a pretty common occurrence with subdivision plat names being fairly goofy and restrictions on naming processes. Actually, most of our subdivisions are marketed under different names than is on the plat, so that's not uncommon. With that, I would stand for any questions.
Okay, questions for Mark?
Yes, sir. Mr. Tate, I got a question for you. On the East Park rendering there, the beach area, that's going to be pretty much open to the public?
It would, yeah. So both of those parks in the southwest and southeast corner and the walkway and everything along Indian Creek would be public parks. So Jace mentioned in his staff report that we've been working with staff and council on a park agreement. I believe it's almost done. We've had a couple of rounds of comments and feel pretty confident that it'll be before you for approval very shortly. And that would make it make these parks public and managed by the Parks Department.
One quick follow-up question on the beach area, since that's going to be inviting a lot of people, young people. Do you have any plans to have any life-saving stations like life rings or anything that can be flotation device that can be thrown to somebody that's in distress?
Great question. I don't think we've gone quite to that level of detail in the design, but certainly would be open to those types of suggestions.
Thank you.
I am not aware of any such things along like the Boise River, but would definitely be interested in looking into it.
Thank you.
Okay, anything further? All right. Jace, did you have any objection to his asking on number 17 for marketing purposes of marketing it under a different name?
Mr. Mayor, for the record, Jace Hellman, Interim Planning and Zoning Director. We don't have any objections. We would just ask that if a name was chosen, that we would receive updated preliminary plats for our files, because that is one thing that we run into problems with, is a preliminary plat's approved one way. We don't have a preliminary plat that says that name. And then when we get into, you know, inspections and people are calling us, oh, I'm over in this subdivision, and we have no record of that name. So if the applicant is willing to work with us and provide us constant updates and some updated documents with the name change, staff would be open to removing that condition if the council wishes to do so.
Okay, thank you. Did we have anybody sign up to wanting to testify?
No, Mayor, we did not.
Still no. Okay. All right.
Easy crowd tonight.
Yeah. So this is a public hearing, and we are open for that. So I guess we can go ahead and go on to council discussion. It looks like a really good thing to kind of help get rid of that mess we have out on Strobel Road there for floaters, and hopefully that'll help at least with some of that. I don't think they're going to be able to give us 300 parking spaces like might be necessary, but just kidding. No, it's been a problem area, so we appreciate your working with staff and trying to make a nice area for the public.
I would agree with all that. Just counting their pictures they had, you know, 45 parking spots. I don't know that I've ever seen 45 cars parked on the side of Strobel. It's probably been close, but that will definitely help with the accessibility down Strobel Road in that area. The conceptual pictures look great. Excited to see what the Parks Department really gets done with all those, and good luck putting all that in with all the rock over there. Looks great to me.
Yeah, and just to overemphasize that, those life-saving stations, even if the city would agree to do it, it's some kind of a flotation line from one point to the other.
Mr. Mayor, quick comment. Bill Gigray, Councilman Laraway is hard to hear, and I don't know if I'm the only one, just to make sure that the applicant and everybody that's present can hear what Councilman Laraway has to say.
Sure. Council Member Laraway, swallow your mic.
I will speak up. Like Councilman McPherson, that's a great idea, but I'm hoping that the life-saving stations that are applied, if they agree, and I'd like to see a flotation line from one point to the other for the small kids to be able to kind of keep them corralled, because there's going to be a current going through there.
Always, yeah.
And the smaller kids getting on an inner tube or anything like that is going to get sucked right out. So some kind of safety line, a flotation, where people can get on their rafts and still go across the line. It's not a big deal. But I think the safety feature or something like that, I mean, they're creating a nice atmosphere. I'd like to see us raise the bar a little bit and add some of the safety features.
Okay. Bobby, is there anything you want to address? I know you've been working on this with them. And
for the record, Bobby Withrow, 270 South Orchard Street, Parks Director. Yeah, we can look at safety stations or a line that goes across the creek. Anything that we can do to try to make things as safe as we can. Our goal on the other side was always to get the cars off of Strobel, because it does get congested over there. The west part, that's going to be a great amenity. So we're going to do everything we can to keep everybody safe.
Thank you.
Good. Thanks, Bobby.
I guess Warren and Richard have nothing to say, huh?
No, I agree with everything you're saying, and then if, you know, you jump ship over to what they're looking at from a preliminary plat over in the portion of the subdivision, it definitely, I think the initial drawings and the intent of this, it certainly is a very elegant and beautiful looking area that really is in desperate need, I think, of some sort of change out there in a sense.
Okay.
I like the layout, but I do have one question. On page 12 of 106, the name change condition is listed as condition 17. On page 23, it's listed as condition number 18. If this is to be made as a motion, we need to know which page we should follow, which I would assume it's page 23, condition 18.
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Cardoza, if I may, for the record, Jay Salmon, Interim Planning and Zoning Director. The condition 18 within the staff report, which reads applicant shall keep the subdivision name as presented and approved by council and may not change it for marketing purposes unless approved by council, would be the one that we're looking for. So if you're in your motion wanting to remove condition 8 or that condition, it would be condition number 18.
Thank you, Josh.
Good. Good catch.
I do like the layout. It's great that the city has availability to Indian Creek like that, and it solves maybe our parking problem over there. I don't know whatever happened to Bobby trying to get Anderson to allow us to put parking over there, but it looks like this solves our problem. So.
Yeah, I think that's one of those that turned into a deal where we had to invest a bunch of money into a property that wasn't ours that would be torn out eventually, and so it was kind of a build it, tear it out, and then we'd have to figure out something later. So I think that's one reason we never did get that.
Looking good, Bob.
Well, I think the masses have spoken, so we can make a motion to close the evidence presentation and proceed to deliberation.
Second.
Motion is made by Councilmember McPherson and seconded by Councilmember Christensen to close the evidence presentation and proceed to deliberation. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
And anyone opposed? And that motion is unanimous.
Then I would move that we approve case number 20-02AN and 20-04S with the conditions of the staff recommendations of section J in the packet with the removal of item number 18.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded to approve case number 2002AN and 2004-S with the noted changes. I think the only other thing that Jace wanted was just that they make sure that they communicate with the Planning and Zoning Department, whatever name they choose to use, in lieu of Rising Sun before you remove that number 18. Would that still be?
Yes, I would amend my motion to include that the applicant continues to communicate with our planning and zoning staff on name changes in the future.
Okay.
I'll second that.
Second still carries. So we have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Is anyone opposed? And that motion carries. That leads us to...
Thank you.
What? I think it was...
I heard an echo. That leads us to item D, public hearing and consideration to approve resolution number R66-2020, Jared Empey.
Good evening, Council and Mayor. I want to thank you for this opportunity to address you this evening. So before you, I have a consideration on the connection fee for sewer. So as you well know from various meetings that we've had among staff and with the Council as well, we've received different meetings in which capacity concerns from Boise Street South have been addressed. And even recently with various subdivisions, we've seen various capacity concerns addressed recently. So from my notes, we have four different subdivisions which have seen capacity concerns. For instance, Corbin's Cove, which is 22 lots. In August, we saw capacity concerns addressed. Ashton Estates, which was 175 buildable lots in October. And Fossil Creek, which was 283 lots. Ledgestone South, which was 393 lots. And Ledgestone South was actually denied due to capacity concerns. Now, although capacity concerns aren't entirely the city's responsibility, and developers normally help with some of these concerns, often we do share in a portion of that responsibility for one reason or another. Also, lack of capacity also entails that we may have additional maintenance costs due to additional pressure on lines, pumps, temporary lift station and even additional overtime costs due to breakage or other maintenance concerns due to emergency calls. In addition, as I stated, often the city does have responsibilities that aren't addressed by developers. For instance, I've done some looking, and just six examples in the sewer department for where we had a significant responsibility. For example, in 2012, we had the filtration membrane replacement for $183,000. In 2015, we had a North Wastewater Treatment Plant membrane replacement for $104,000. In 2015, we had a Deerhorn sewer main fix, which was $186,000. In 2016, we had Ardell lift station significant overhaul, which was $159,000. In 2017, Lake Hazel had a project that was $531,000. And in 2019, the Orchard lift station cost $2.7 million. So of these six projects that were significant in the sewer fund, that totaled $3.8 million. So as you can see, the cost of infrastructure and maintenance of this fund is significant, and I don't expect, due to inflation concerns, that these problems will cease to exist in the future. So in order to address this, we did a rate study with Keller Associates, and we looked at our cost structure, and we noted that over the past 6-7 years, the sewer fund was underfunded by a substantial amount. In fact, it was almost $5 million underfunded during the period from 2012 to 2019. And on account of this, we increased sewer rates beginning in April this calendar year, and we're already seeing significant benefits from that financially to the tune of about $1 million per year in additional user rate revenue. In addition to this, that rate study with Keller & Associates broke out that we could also increase our connection fee up to $6,300 for sewer. And if this is also completed, that would be an extra $645 per connection fee that could be added to sewer fund revenue. So just for a breakout of what this would yield if we're using the same about the same activity as we saw last fiscal year, that would be an extra $580,000. If we saw the same activities we saw in 2019, that would be $509,000. And if we saw the same activity that we saw in 2018, that would be $398,000. So at a minimum, we would see an extra $400,000, and on the high end, we'd see about an extra $600,000. I see this as an important step to maintaining the continuity of the sewer fund in the long run, and also maintaining the ability to service customers and maintain operations. And if there are any questions, I'll stand for any of those comments or questions.
Okay. Thank you, Jared. Questions for Jared?
I have one question. Okay. And I guess it's just more confirmation for me. We, in this proposal, we are not seeing an increase put towards the sewage rates that we already did increase earlier this year, correct?
Yes, this is Councilman Christensen, Jared, City Treasurer. So this is not seeing any additional increase in user rates. This is strictly the connection fee.
Perfect. Great. Thank you.
Okay, further questions? I want to thank Jared for the work that he's put into that, and I think it's We know that over the past few years we've been losing money in those accounts, and it's certainly one of the most important things that we have, responsibilities that we have, is to keep our water and sewer systems all working and up and running, and that cost seems to increase at rapid rates. So I'm glad that we were able to do this study and to come up with a reasonable way of doing this without increasing user fees again, and just keep our system safe and up and running. And Public Works guys do a fantastic job of getting the we made all the pumps the same and the valves the same, and you know, that type of thing, so they don't have trouble getting parts and things aren't obsolete and that type of thing. So we've certainly made some great strides in that over the past few years. So this certainly just reinforces that, and I just give kudos to our city treasurer for really taking a good hard look at this and making sure that we're ahead of the game on this one. Yes, Richard.
Jared, if I could ask you a question on page 11 of 116.
Okay, let me get that open.
The monthly base rate and that type of thing?
I'm kind of curious what's the difference between the three-quarter commercial and the two-inch commercial. Where would you see one as opposed to the other? Because you're going from a base rate of $35 to a base rate of $248.
Yeah, so Councilman Cardozo, this would be a good question for the Public Works Director as to exactly which accounts we could potentially see that. Also, I mean, we could also run that analysis and get back to you on that. I just don't have an exact detail of which accounts we would actually see a difference on that.
I guess why I'm asking is if you were to take a three quarters and double it, you'd be at a 1.5 inches, you would be approximately at $70 at a base rate. I'm just curious what a two inch commercial would be at the base price of $248, I guess.
So I could actually answer a little bit of that. An inch and a half pipe has a lot more internal diameter than 2 3-quarter inch pipes. Yeah, it would actually be almost four times rather than double, because it's a 3/4 by a 3/4 instead of 3/4 okay, all the way around. So
where would you see a 2-inch commercial?
Somebody that needs a lot of water. It'd be probably, I don't know that we have any 2-inch commercial. Okay. At this point in time, but a bottling company or somebody that really needs to run a lot of water through things.
Okay. I just want to be prepared if I was asked why their rates went up drastically, so I was curious.
Okay, good.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Anything further? All right, this is a public hearing. Chris, did we have anybody sign up wanting to testify in this matter?
No, we did not.
Still no. Okay, very good. Thank you. Well, then we're on to council discussion.
We're to that point, huh? Okay. Well, I think everybody spoke their mind on it. So I would need to find my spot here. Move we close the evidence presentation and proceed to deliberation.
Second. Motion is made and seconded to close the evidence presentation and proceed to deliberation. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries.
Then I would move we approve resolution R66-2020.
Second. Motion's made and seconded to approve resolution number R66-2020. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? And that motion carries. Thank you. Ordinances. An ordinance of the City Council of the City of CUNA. This is ordinance number 2020-33. An ordinance of the City Council of the City of CUNA making certain findings and enlarging the boundaries of the CUNA Municipal Irrigation System by the inclusion of Ada County Assessors Endurance Holdings, LLC, and declaring water rights appurtenant thereto are pooled for delivery purposes, and directing the city clerk to record this ordinance as provided by law, and directing the city engineer to provide notice of this and update the irrigation system map and providing an effective date. I think this is one of our normal irrigation additions, so I think we're okay to fast track it.
Okay, then I would move we waive three readings of ordinance 2020-33.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to waive the three readings of ordinance 2020-33. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries.
I would then move we approve ordinance 2020-33.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve ordinance number 2020-33. Is there any further discussion? Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Cardoza?
Yes.
Councilmember Christensen?
Yes.
Councilmember Larraway?
Yes.
Council President McPherson?
Yes.
And that motion carries. That brings us to consideration to approve ordinance 2020-34. Now, this one we had some changes to. It appears that the name as we advertised was not correct. And there is a hard copy on the desk. I think it would be my recommendation that we republish this on the next agenda with the corrected version, so that we don't, I think mostly as a matter of transparency, so we don't create confusion there. I don't know that anybody would have any issue with it anyway, but I think we really need to be careful about our being transparent and open on these things. So hopefully this doesn't create a lot of problems for anybody. I think if anything, there might be some building permits held up because of it, but we can have it on the next agenda, I would assume, all cleaned up without all the red lines through it. So that would be my recommendation, unless council wishes to do something different.
Well, I'm good with that.
Oops. What is incorrect? It looks like Challenger Development, Inc. is the same both times.
Would it go from, it started out as LLC and then went to Inc. and then...
Mayor, also Idaho Livestock Company, LLC, with Ted Mason of Signature Homes. All the red in it, the document, has come from our city attorney. He didn't see it until it was already on the agenda. So he's the one that's provided all of the red edits. So everything in red has changed from the original copy that was put into your packet.
Okay.
Do we need to just make a motion to table it till next meeting?
I don't know. We even need to table it. I think we can just bring it back to the next meeting.
Okay.
I mean, you can make
Mr. Mayor. Mayor?
Yes, Bill, go ahead.
Bill Yeager, City Attorney. I'm not going to go through all the redlining. I would just mention, and I think Councilman Cardoza pointed out, that the name had not changed. There, I think, Mr. Mayor, you're correct. There was a citation in there, which we've corrected, that it was an LLC. It's an Inc. With regards to the top part, when I was working with Jace Hellman on this revision, he had an email to me saying that it was Endurance Holding LLC. That was a mistake. We got that cleared up. But the red line, we had to put Challenger Development Inc. back in there. So it was advertised on the correct, with the correct name of the current owner. But there's a considerable additional findings in this with regards to the history of this project, which, in my opinion, is a good thing to have in this ordinance. So the history of why this got delayed for such a long period of time is present in the face of the ordinance.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, and that is all we have on the agenda for tonight. Is there any council announcements you want to make? You don't have any more children yet?
No,
we're
done.
Good with that?
No,
okay.
No.
Warren, how about you? No kids for you? John? I'm done with that.
I'm just happy to vote.
Well, I see you slackers.
We appreciate you stepping in this time. All right. Well, I appreciate everybody, and hopefully one of these days we can get back to having normal council meetings, but I appreciate your patience with us on these, and we'll continue to continue. So thank you very much, and meeting adjourned.
I wanted to stand up when I said something, but I withheld.